Module 15, Post-Rut and Late Season. Chapter 1, The After Party.
So I want to thank Corey for letting me be part of his University of Elk Hunting. If there's anything that I feel that maybe I have a lot of experience in, it's finding elk on public land. Not necessarily killing them and tagging them, but finding them. And here's why. I'm lucky I get to hunt 6 to 8 hunts a year between my tags and the tags of friends and guest hunters. I get to hunt from Montana and Wyoming all the way down to Arizona, New Mexico. I get to hunt the low desert country. I get to hunt the high alpine country. I get to see elk in a lot of different places. But no matter where you hunt, there's one thing in common. You cannot kill a bull elk until you find a bull elk. It might be super obvious, but it's not super easy. Finding bull elk on public land is one of the hardest things any hunter can do. Yeah, finding bull elk on private land, way, way easier. Finding cow elk on public or private land, way, way easier. We're talking about finding mature bull elk on public land, and that is very hard to do. I bet you I spend 90 to 95% of my time finding the elk, and then the other 5%, maybe 10% of the time, killing them. Think about, how do I build knowledge that helps me understand where I'm going to find elk in the period I'm hunting them? And that's what we're going to get into in this video. And I'm going to quickly explain to you what this system is. And it's about the 5 periods of what we have as the elk calendar and the 4 needs elk have. And when we're done here, you're going to see why these are important to this system I have. But first, let's talk about the 5 calendar periods that elk live by, at least during hunting seasons that we're hunting them. There's the early season, which for me is anything in August. Not that many hunts going on in the early season. Then we have pre-rut, which if I have a calendar, I'm going to say pre-rut is September 1st to wherever the rut peaks in your area. I'm saying usually September 1st to the 10th. Then we have peak rut, where this is it. This is what we live for. This is, they're fired up. That's usually September 10th to, it can be up into the first week of October, depending on how drawn out the rut is in the area that you're hunting. And then we have the last 2 seasons that are somewhat similar. And it's an area where I get to spend most of my time hunting, or a period in which I get to spend most of my time hunting. And that would be post-rut. And for me, that's usually sometime about the 10th to 15th of October to the end of October. And then anytime after November 1st to me is late season. So think about the fact that an elk doesn't care what we have as a calendar. An elk is doing things out on the landscape based on what their needs are in these 5 calendar periods that I talked about. And now that we've discussed and brought forth the topic of needs, elk have 4 basic needs. 3 are permanent, 1 is temporary or seasonal. The 4 basic needs that an elk has: water, food, security or sanctuary. Those are the 3 permanent needs. And the other, a seasonal need, breeding. Each of those 4 needs might show up in a different priority during a calendar period you're hunting than the priority they have in a later or earlier calendar period. So now that we know the 5 seasons, we know the 4 needs, let's quickly review the priority of what those needs are during the period you might be hunting. Early season, primary need is food. They're still putting on the food bag. They're thinking, yeah, maybe the rut's going to be coming. You're going to find them where the best feed is. They also need water. And water is going to be somewhat dependent upon latitude. Up here where I live in Montana, we have water in every drainage. You get down to Arizona, Nevada, Utah, New Mexico, water is a more scarce commodity and you can use it to your advantage. In this early season, sanctuary is always a consideration. They're going to be looking for the food and water that is furthest from motorized roads and trails. And that's not a statement on motorized travel or motorized politics. It's just that every research shows that if there's the same food as close to a road or far from a road, an elk's going to go and seek out the food far from the road. just how they are. So early season needs, food, water, then sanctuary, and breeding really hasn't quite entered the equation yet. So where are you going to find elk in the early season? You're going to find where the primary food source is. Elk are grazers. Go look for the best grasses, the best forbs, the things they're going to be selecting for as the best food on the mountain, the best food on the plains, in the woods, wherever they're living. They're seeking out the best food in this early season. We're starting to hear some bugles. The bulls, every bull has rubbed the velvet from his antlers by this time. They're starting to stage near where the cows are because we're seeing kind of a changing of their needs. At the beginning of the pre-rut stage, food and water are still very important, but breeding is starting to work its way up their priority list. By the end of the pre-rut stage, breeding is primary. It's what they're thinking about. Sanctuary is always going to be there. Again, like I said earlier, if the bulls can do their breeding far from a road or close from a road, they're going to select, how do I get further from a road? Just how elk are. So in this pre-rut phase, where are you going to find elk? And it's going to vary across the landscape. You're going to look for certain characteristics. You're going to look for where are the cows selecting the best feed. Because towards the end of that pre-rut phase, the bulls are going to start staging towards where these cows are feeding. Cows are always looking for food, 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 best food. I'm lactating, I'm whatever. I got to get in good shape for the winter so I can carry another calf. Cows are always thinking about food. So pre-rut, you're looking for where the best food is on the mountain, on wherever you're hunting in your unit, because that's where the cows are going to be. And where the cows are, the bulls are not going to be far away. Now let's talk about the greatest time, the thing all elk hunters live for. The reason Corey Jacobson loves to call elk, is the world champion elk caller, is because he loves hunting the peak rut. We all do. So what's going on in the peak rut as far as needs? Well, remember how we said early season breeding was down here below sanctuary food and water? Now breeding is priority number 1 through 50. And followed by water, then food, and then sanctuary. This is the one time of the year where sanctuary is far down the list. A bull will expose himself to a lot more danger in the peak rut period than he will any other time of year. Because priority number 1 through 50 is cows, breeding. So where are you going to find bulls in the peak rut? On public land? You're going to find them where the cows are. Where are the cows? The cows are going to be where the best food is. There are some ridges, for whatever reason that I can't tell you, that that's where the cows hang out in the rut. There's good feed there. Even though it looks like it's the same feed on the other ridges, there's just some place, year after year, that is where most of the cows are hanging out. And they're easy to find because along those ridges, you're going to find a lot of rubs, you're going to find a lot of sign, and you're going to see cow elk moving in and out of the open areas. You're going to hear them, you're going to see them. Find the cows in the peak rut, and you're going to find the bulls. And the beauty of the peak rut is the elk are not just sitting in one little pocket. You have bulls moving from herd to herd, looking, doing a lot of things that they would not do at the other time of the year. That makes them more vulnerable and makes it easier for us to find them. This is the period when the rut is winding down. The old bulls have said, you know what, I've left my mark. I'm going to leave these cows, any of them that aren't bred, these young boys can have them. I'm going to go and rest up. I'm going to find a place to live through hunting season. There's a reason that most of the rifle hunts in the West happen in the post-rut period. Because success rates are very low, therefore agencies can provide more opportunity with less impact on the resource. So, what are the needs of elk, public land bull elk, in the post-rut period? Sanctuary, 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 food, water. Breeding is now, it's out of his mind. So you have to go and find sanctuary places. And we're going to talk about what constitutes a sanctuary in a later video. Just understand that these bulls are not where you saw them just 2 or 3 weeks ago. They're looking to survive another hunting season. Sanctuary, think distance or topography or ugliness. If you look at a spot and say, I don't want to kill an elk down there, odds are that's a sanctuary. If you look up a steep, nasty rock pile and say, man, I don't want to climb up there, odds are that's a sanctuary. Sanctuaries are where other hunters don't want to go. And that is where you're going to find post-rut bull elk. Now we're going to talk about the last part of the calendar period from November 1st on that I call the late season. And in the late season, the bulls are still in sanctuary mode, just like they were in the post-rut. But instead of sanctuary being item 1 through 20 or 30, now sanctuary might be item 1 through 5. They know that they've got to start exposing themselves to danger a little more often because they have to restore that fat. They have to do whatever they can to build as much reserve to get through the winter, especially in northern climates. These bulls have really been through the ringer, and if they don't get some fat, some reserves back in their body, they may not make it through the winter. So in this late season period, you have some things working to your advantage. So you have elk that are probably going to be feeding longer, feeding earlier, and just the fact that there are fewer people in the woods means they're more comfortable, they're more at ease. But even that, they are still in sanctuary mode. They are in these ugly places. Now they're probably not solo bulls like they would be in the pre-rut or post-rut period. Now they're probably into their bachelor groups. You're going to see groups of 2, 3, 4, 5. I've seen bachelor groups of 10 or 11 bulls. And they are in places that people don't want to go. So that's the 5 seasons of the elk calendar. That's the 4 basic needs. And that is the priority in which these 4 needs fall under each of the 5 calendar periods. And again, I can't emphasize enough. You have to prioritize what's the elk's need priority in the season that I'm hunting. Because that's the secret to the whole system. We spend 95% of our time finding elk on public land. The other 5% we spend killing them. I will say that in most instances, a bull elk is easier to kill once you find him than a mule deer, than a whitetail deer. But finding him on public land when he's at full alert, he's got all of his senses, is way harder than finding a whitetail or finding a mule deer. So when we're talking post-rut, I'm talking about the period after the rut is waning, it's ending. It might start October 10th to the 15th, but what you're gonna find in this period are the bulls who controlled the harems, did most of the breeding, are now going off by themselves. They're just gonna go find some place to get through hunting season. They're going to find really small areas that have 3 common features. They're going to be sanctuaries. They're going to be places where hunters don't want to travel, either because of the distance from a motorized trail, because of the ugly nastiness of blowdown, deadfall, burns, or it might just be the sheer topography of, guess what, you got 400 feet of vertical that is almost like rock climbing. There are certain pieces of the landscape that elk learn, guess what? When I hang out here, I don't get bothered. Nearby, without having to travel very far and expose themselves to the risk of hunters, they want water and they want a little bit of food. They will still forego food in this period, just like they did in the rut. And then when we talk about the late season, that's when they will start saying, you know what? I can't wait any longer. I got to really start putting the feed bag on. But in this post-rut period, you're going to find elk in the most secluded places. That's why it has such low success rates. These elk are not active at all. They are going to bed well before the sun comes up, And they're not coming out until usually after the sun goes down. How a hunter can really be successful, consistently successful, is to find where these sanctuary locations are. And you can tell by looking at a map. I use the Onyx map system. I can tell, all right, how far is it from a road or a trail? That's my first thing. Then, what's the topography looks like? What does the vegetation look like? Pretty soon, these things start, okay, here's places, this piece, that piece. Oh yeah, this looks like a sanctuary, this looks like a sanctuary. Then, depending on where I'm at in latitude, in Montana, Idaho, we've got water in every drainage. Colorado, there's a lot of water. You get down to Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico, all of a sudden water, there might be great sanctuaries, but the nearest water is 5 miles away. Well, you don't got to worry about those sanctuary places. They're not going to use them. They want sanctuaries that are close to the other needs of food and water. Because the further they have to travel for food and water from their bedding area, that we often call it bedding areas, I call it their sanctuary. The further it is from the sanctuary to the other need of food and the other need of water, the greater the risk they're going to get shot. And the bulls that haven't figured that out are now out of the gene pool. They're in somebody's freezer. So the bulls we're looking for know where sanctuaries exist near or adjacent to food and water. So what does that look like? What does that mean? Well, in the areas of the northern latitudes, that usually involves steepness. It might be blowdown. It might be burns. It might be something ugly. It might be a closed road or closed trail. But the places I hunt in Arizona and New Mexico, Nevada, Utah, Colorado even in some spots, it can be canyons. So in some parts of the Elk Range, we think a topography is uphill. Other places I go, sanctuary might be downhill into canyons. Whatever it is, I tell people, if you walk to a place and say, boy, I don't want to climb up there. I don't want to haul an elk out of that hole down there. I don't want to have to hopscotch and hurdle over all that deadfall. Odds are you've probably found a sanctuary. So once you find that sanctuary, and you'll find multitudes of sanctuaries, when you really start looking, your map will be littered with sanctuary areas. Then take those sanctuary areas and say, which ones are the closest to the food and the water? And those are the places you're going to find bull elk in the post-rut period. Now I'm going to talk about a slightly different period. It's slightly different than post-rut, and I call it the late season period. And for me, that's from November 1st to however late your state allows you to hunt elk. And there's a few differences between this and the post-rut. Post-rut, most of these bulls are going to be solo. By the time the late season comes around, they're going to start building their bachelor groups. And that might just be a pair of bulls, it might be five or eight bulls. But now they're going to be in similar areas that you looked for them in the post-rut, sanctuary areas. But they're going to be in groups and they're going to be feeding more. They have to. Winter's coming. The time that makes or breaks whether or not they will see another summer, whether or not they will get to breed again the following year, is in the next couple months. So in this late season period, it gives you, the hunter, a lot of advantage, which is why the success rate in late seasons are so much higher than they are in the post-rut period. So let's think about some of this. In the prior video, we focused on sanctuaries. And I told you sanctuary could be distance, it could be topography, it could be the ugliness of the vegetation. The quick synopsis of that is if someone walks over and says, boy, I don't want to climb through that, I don't want to climb up there, I don't want to haul a bull out of that hole, those are probably sanctuary areas. So now you're looking for where are these, but the bull has to have food. So where are the sanctuary areas on my map that are far from roads and trails, that have a component of food? In the post-rut period, you might only get to see them for that first 20, 30 minutes after legal shooting light, and they might not come out until there's only 10 or 20 minutes of legal shooting light. Now in the late season, you will see them. They might be out for an hour, and they might come out an hour before the end of legal shooting light. They have to. You might see them get up out of their bed in the middle of the day trying to pick and grab a little bit of food even during the middle of the day. To survive, the winter requires that they have to be exposed to a little more hunter risk at this time of year. If you think about how elk move across their range, whether it's a mountain range where they have a very defined summer area and a very defined winter area, maybe it's a plateau or a mesa where, okay, they're on the mesa in the summer and they're in the lowlands in the winter. There's usually some small, it varies by distance, migration from summer to winter, and then there's these transition ranges in between. In cliff areas of, let's say, southwest Colorado, they're from one to the other in a day. In places where I live in Montana, it might take them a week to kind of ease their way and move along. But here's some general rules about that. In what I call the post-rut period, their sanctuary areas that are closer to the summer range are the ones you will probably find them at. Those will be higher up the mountain or deeper in the canyon. Then, as weather and everything else starts forcing them closer to their winter range, the sanctuary areas in the late season, this after November period, that are closer to their winter range are the ones that I focus on. Because the odds are those ones are going to have more food at that time of year. And get yourself to a spot where you can glass multiple sanctuaries from one place. Post-rut, late season, are glassing games. These are the times where you sit there for hours and hours and hours, binos, spotting scope. I know some would say it's boring, and some would say, oh, it's worse than sitting in a blind or a tree stand. Whatever. It's the most effective way. And when these elk get up in the day to grab a little bit of food, to maybe move because they got to get out of their bed for the shade or whatever, that's an opportunity. But your two key opportunities are going to be that first period in the morning and that last period in the evening. Do not get to those places late. Don't leave them early. If you leave your truck right at daylight, right at legal shooting light, you're not going to be very successful in the late season. You have to be comfortable hiking in with a headlamp, walking to your glassing location, being there when legal shooting light comes, because you've got four sanctuary areas that you're glassing from one spot, and you're going to see those bulls right in that first half hour, hour of daylight. And you might not be able to get there to kill them that morning, but you know where they are, and they're not going to move much. And in this time of the year, they're going to come back out in the evening, and you're going to be able to kill them then. Or the flip side of that, you see them in the afternoon, you can't get there before dark. Go in there the next morning before the sun comes up and be there, and that bull will probably be there and kill him that next morning. Point is, you got to get there early, you got to be able to stay all day, and you have to stay all day and leave in the dark. It makes for long days, but you're going to find these bulls. And the other benefit you have in this late season is if you have snow, a lot of times you won't even see the elk, but you will see their sign. Well, if I see a big herd of 30 tracks going across a big sage face, I know those are cows and young bulls. That's too big to be a bachelor herd. If I see three tracks going across a face a mile away, those are probably bulls. Not for sure, but probably. And if I see them just lined out in a straight line, they're heading to the winter range or somewhere close by. But what I'm looking for is when they're kind of meandering, just randomly moving around, I know those bulls have been there feeding and they are somewhere nearby. And if I have snow and I see that sign in the snow, I am staying right here. I'll spend ridiculous number of days in that same spot, knowing that somewhere in these sanctuary areas that I'm hunting, there are bulls that have been feeding and they just need to stand up and make themselves visible, and I'm going to kill one of them. It's a lot of things like that that make the late season a far more successful period for hunters. You have bulls in bachelor groups, so it's easier to find two, three, five bulls than it is a solo bull. They are moving now more because of feed. Their need for demand for food at this point is much higher. And you probably have a little less hunting pressure. So now you know these five seasons, these four needs, and specifically post-rut and late season, how to go and find a bull elk. And just remember, when you use this system, identify the period in which you're hunting, prioritize the needs in that period, and then go to where those needs could be satisfied by a bull elk, and that's where you're going to find them.